And the thing that really blows my mind is how, and this is Americans in general, they look at the church like it's a vending machine. They look at the church as like, priests, you know, are you going to start talking about the things that I want to hear? Are you going to start giving me the stuff that I want? And that's what the relationship with God is. It's the same way too. It's like all they do is, it's like they haven't learned anything from like the book of Job, where it was like, you know, you may not get anything. You may in fact get the opposite.
Could you imagine if your son walked up to you? Dad, when are you going to start giving me more ice cream? You're going to get less now, actually.
Yeah.
When are you going to start talking about abortion now? I don't want to give a homily on abortion even more.
Yeah.
That's most people's relationship with the church is they think like, what's it doing for me?
Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast live on X, the Everything app. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. And Ethan,
Patrick,
ahead. What? What's up?
I was gonna ask you a big question.
I was gonna introduce our guest because we're
Are you gonna be able to contain yourself?
What do you mean?
We got a big guest on the show this week. Someone that he might not know this, but for a while I referred to him as your boyfriend because of how because of how much you talked about him, and I felt replaced in a sense a couple months ago. You start about, I've been talking to him and we've been DMing each other. He's helping me out so much. I love him. And with that being said, I'd like you to introduce the person on the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, this friend we have on the podcast, Dino, aka Art of Purpose on Twitter. Follow him at Creation 24/7. He is how many followers you got now?
330-something thousand followers. Yeah,
337,000 followers on Twitter. Posts a lot about tradition. And more recently, like Catholicism, but originally like an art posting page, right? That was what you were posting originally when you started. And you've shifted recently. We're definitely going to talk about that. But Dino's also been one of the masterminds behind me growing. He's taught me a lot over these past couple months. So Dino, sorry, you have been replaced again by Ethan. So Ethan is back in the...
That's okay. He can be your boyfriend. It's all right.
That's good.
I was like, I'm good. My wife did the other day. She looked at me. She's like, "Why are you smiling at your phone?" He's like, "Did Ethan text you?" And he had.
That's so nice. I didn't know that happened.
Is this streaming on X too? Did you guys say that? That's pretty awesome.
Well, we should stream it on X. We're not live at the moment, but
okay. I thought we were.
We need to hook up.
Yeah,
There's lots of things we need to connect on the back end. You know, we're still very much we're like in the movie BlackBerry. But before they get super successful and they're all just like playing video games and like not selling things to the United States government, that's us.
That's us.
We don't have a Jim Balsillie to come in and grow. Have you seen the movie BlackBerry?
Maybe no, I haven't. I don't watch it.
No, it's okay. It's a great film about the rise and fall of BlackBerry. Anyway, we're a ragtag operation. Dino, tell us a little bit about you came from the teaching world. You have this ArtX account. It blows up. You start talking about, you know, traditional values. And now every other tweet I see from you on my timeline is that you want to ban porn on X, the Everything app, which I love. Every time I see it, I like it. Tell us about the journey of how you went from just being a guy in a school to now being a huge advocate for tradition and making some of the best memes this side of the Atlantic Ocean.
Right. So I used to be a public school teacher. I started an X account during COVID and it blew up during the COVID era. Absolutely blew up. And I built a whole business around all of what we've been doing on X. And that's where we are now. You know, I used to teach public school.
What did you teach? Were you like a history teacher?
I used to teach band.
Band?
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Hold on. Baritone.
No. Give me a guess.
I can play them all. So
he can play them all. What did you? Yeah. You probably started as a clarinet player,
trombone, tuba.
Dang it!
Yeah, it's a yeah.
I'm off.
No. He has a brass vibe.
He does have a bit of a brass vibe. Were you middle school or high school?
I've taught mostly middle school, but I taught all levels.
You taught everything. Point. Yeah. I would want to get out of middle school band teaching too, if I was in that position.
Yeah, it was actually the better of the teachings, right? That's actually the shocking part. especially because I live in Texas, right? So Texas is super competitive with everything, especially band. So everybody has like monster egos, monster programs, monster everything. And I actually used to teach at like one of the top programs in this state of Texas. So anyway, the whole situation with schools is wild. It's kind of a sad thing, what's going on in public schools. 2020, I started my own account, started blowing up, started teaching people how to grow online as well, started a community around it, that blew up, then started cohorts going around that, whole business that's all built around this. And, you know, I don't teach anymore. So that's pretty much it. I just do what I want now.
Yeah.
I've seen you like talk a little bit about your, I guess your reason for leaving the public school system was not entirely because you had a successful business online. It was also because of what you saw going down in the public school system.
Well, because of woke?
No, well, because I had a successful business online is why.
Oh, that was the reason? Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, well, yeah, I mean, there were a lot of woke things going on. There were a lot of terrible things going on. Mm-hmm. And so what's going on with all of that is worse than anybody can imagine. It's worse. Yeah. So, like, think about how bad public schools are that you probably think they are. Like, anybody listening. Yeah, they're 1,000 times worse than that.
Ugh.
Give us an example. Like, I'm interested because when you think
from
of
which Texas, perspective, from which perspective, mm-hmm. like from the students or the teachers, or from like the parents' perspective.
I would start with the teacher because you have a unique insight into that. Like, what
from
was
the
going
job
on?
Of it? So from the job of it, it's grossly, horrendously underpaid, and you just do way too much work, and it's an awful position. And I used to work like for instance, I used to work 80 hours a week teaching band, right?
And
I know, right? This is pretty wild. And like, you know, in Texas, like everything revolves around band. Everything revolves around high school football, all that, all the extracurricular stuff. And people, you know, work themselves into a grave quickly into those jobs. And so what was really good is for me as an entrepreneur now is that I learned all of that work ethic from being like overworked and completely underpaid to now being able to run and do my own business. And it was great motivation, and it was really easy to accomplish what I wanted to do because of the work ethic that I had from teaching in public schools.
Mm. So from when you and I started interacting about like 6 months ago now, mm-hmm. You had mentioned a bit about like starting to introduce religion more into your content. Now, this is like we started out as a Catholic podcast. In right. many respects, we still are.
we haven't strayed too far away.
I mean, there's Pope John Paul II in his background.
I know. He's chilling, right?
I would hope that this is still a Catholic podcast.
Still a Catholic podcast.
It is still a Catholic
podcast.
So
what, like, what motivated you to bring religion back into your content? Or into
okay,
your content?
So the way that I approach content is that you should be talking about what's going on in your life, right? Through your pillars, through your frame. And so I started to go back into church. I think we're at like the 1 year anniversary ish.
Oh,
I actually started going back to church.
Awesome. Yeah.
So I've been doing this. I haven't missed mass. I went to both Monday and Sunday, by the way.
Well nice. Done.
There we go.
Wow.
You made it through that one. It's tricky when we do that to people.
It is right. And I've been out of the game for so long. I had been away from the church for about 25 years.
Holy
so,
cow.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so I've been back into it. My wife is in RCIA, OCIA as they call it now. My son got baptized back in April.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're doing so. I'm fully into it, and in fact, I'm doing it more than I ever did. And I'm coming at it from like a revert perspective, as I know I'm going to say like the dreaded words. I went to Catholic school, and I went to Catholic school, and then just pretty much like did my own thing. Like as soon as I got out of Catholic school and, you know, look back at like what's going on in the world and what, you know, taking stock of my life now and seeing like that all of this is really true. And going back into church is one of the best decisions that I ever made in life. So that's why I tweet about it.
Yeah.
Cause you gotta talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Why would you not talk about what you got to talk about what you're doing? Right. You gotta build that rapport with your audience. Right. Like you guys, I'm sure your audience knows you guys, right?
Well,
a little too much.
Do they know? See, they know too much, right? So my audience knows me as well, right? Same thing.
The people who listen to this podcast are pretty loyal. That's what I've found. They'll bring up stuff that we said like years ago. Forgot,
we just had great. Oh, that's someone cool. in our Discord brought up an episode that we did 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. She posted it in our Discord. She's like, just a reminder, everybody, it's a 6 year anniversary of this episode. It had a huge impact on me. Everybody should listen. And I'm like, I don't remember what we did 2 weeks ago on this podcast.
The only reason I remember that episode is because Camille brings it up all the time. Yeah. So like we've been around for a while, but we haven't been. I say that because when we were starting our podcast, mm-hmm. the Catholic Twitter bubble, the Catholic bubble felt really small, and it was very impermeable. If you know what I mean, it was very like strict boundaries. Like people, like this is the Catholic bubble. This is Catholic Twitter.
I got that vibe really quick too. Yeah.
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 How coming into the
and I'm
Catholic
like a monster, world, right? Like I'm like a monster, right? So it's
you're bald.
If I go into the bubble, like I just take up the whole bubble. Like it's really weird because like when you have such a following like mine, and mm-hmm. then you go into like a bubble, it's really strange because it's like, excuse me, like you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. it's
the big accounts have 70,000 followers in Catholic Twitter. It's like a different. It's a
yeah, that's
different
tiny. You're on. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, Ethan.
Mogged. No, I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking you're just like.
Name. Oh, okay. Sorry, Catholic Pat. But like, hey, you know,
no,
when,
I'm 40,
you came
I'm 40.
When you came into our community, you had 10,000 followers. I remember.
He
that.
Did.
Correct.
So,
I did.
400x. So, yeah. So the thing with Catholic Twitter is, I have a lot of thoughts on Catholic Twitter because I know.
I want to hear all of them.
Okay, so
dude.
I know social media.
Yeah, this could be the
remember
whole
what podcast. I do, what I do for a living. I'm a social media strategist. Like that's my title, right? I've written the number one course on X growth in the world. Create 24/7. Have an online community masterclass that has 500 people inside of it. That all we do is talk about social media growth, and run the Create Publish Profit as well. And we've done over 1 million in sales on Gumroad. And that's just Gumroad. Okay. So there's my credentials before I start talking about Catholic Twitter. Okay. And again, I'm not like the greatest Catholic. I just told you guys I was away for 25 years. I now regularly go, but I do know social media. My whole take on the Catholic Twitter is that just people aren't taking it seriously enough. And it's extremely dangerous that the position that other Catholics are putting this in, I don't think they take social media seriously. And I think like, you know, you have a lot of Catholics out there. They're just like playing around, not taking it seriously. And they're just going through the motions. Like for instance, like here's a couple of things that really blew my mind, right? I study disinformation for a living, right? You can see how often Pope Francis gets, you know, slandered online. Just call it slander because that's actually what it is. It's kill shots. It's things that are designed to take him down, things that are designed, weaponized words designed to keep people away from the Catholic faith. And yet Catholic Twitter can't do anything. They can't defend it. If I was on the other side, I would be licking my chops. I would be excited because the Catholic Twitter is so gutless and so disorganized and so toothless that it can't even defend its own pope. Think about that.
Ethan's having a great time.
This is the best day of my life right now.
Yeah.
I'm having so much fun.
You can edit that clip and you can put it on your timelines, guys.
I will.
So here I am. Like, it's a shame that you guys are having to rely on me, who is like the Art of Purpose with Brad Pitt and his Santa Claus out his hat and just trying to do this. But here's the deal. Like, where there's a community, like you have this misinformation on this, right? Let's say, for instance, this is the latest one that I saw. I almost just blew my mind. Is that they're saying that Pope Francis is opening up 25 portals on Christmas Eve, right?
Like I love it.
Which is like, portal is a word for door.
It's just a door, yeah.
Yeah, like you're going through a door, like, right?
In a way, it's a portal.
It's right.
Amazing.
So this did happen to get a community note on it, right? Fortunately,
yeah.
Because that needs to be corrected, that this is, because people, you could have, like there's Baptists that like literally might see that and believe that Pope John Paul, or sorry, Pope, keep seeing Joe Pope John Paul. Yeah,
I know, my bad. I'll take it.
You have Pope Francis, okay? You should have Pope Francis up there.
I should. I don't know if I will.
Okay. It's all right. So what you have here is all people who might actually believe this. You have to understand how persuasion works, like in a way, is you can say something, you can slap a label on something, on someone, And that will always stay there, right? At a subconscious mm-hmm. level, like you, this is one of the reasons why you should like never negative self-talk yourself. Like, oh, mm-hmm. I'm this, I'm that. And think about what they're doing to Pope Francis. They're saying just whatever they want. They know they can get away with it. They can say like he's summoning a demon. They can throw up a picture of the Vatican or something like that, or something that makes him look like he is some like mystic or something like this, who has some alter motive, because they've planted that seed in people's mind. So now there's a cognitive bias, and now that anything that they do after that is going to be able to confirm their own all confirmation bias.
Yeah, because you can't even argue with people when they're like when they comment and they're like, all religions are a path to God, Pope Francis. Like, you believe that he said that. There's nothing I can do to prove you wrong. All I can do is do the point thing and say you fell for propaganda. Like, that's all I can do.
So let's talk about Catholic Twitter. So you have just a bunch of people who are in Catholic Twitter who care more about getting likes and getting like an extra 1,000. Now, it's good to care about like getting some followers and building your own, but they care more. Like, I see a lot, they just drop posts. They don't really care. They think more about these, the fake, I call them fake Catholics, they're fake celebrities and they're fake Catholics too at the same time.
It's talking about you, Patrick.
No, hey. not you, but you know, there are people who like use that label and group chats are used mostly by Catholics to defend people who aren't even Catholic, just pretending, and build other people's brands and get themselves like an extra few likes on their posts and just gossip and talk instead of organizing and defending the Pope and doing what they need to do. And, you know, it just blows my mind. I think there's a lot of Catholics are really underestimating the power of social media. Look, here's how it works, guys. Whatever you see on X right now is what the world is going to be thinking in mainstream in the next 5-10 years. Okay, so and I'm just going to show you the power of this. This is why the richest man in the world owns X. He owns X because he understands the power of the internet. The power of the internet, the game. This is what billionaires do. They play a game. They want the world to think like them. Okay, they're really just playing a game where they're not on the internet for likes and retweets. They're there to make the world think like them. Okay, that's mm-hmm. why Elon Musk bought X. Okay, so that he could control the narrative. This is the same reason why William Randolph Hearst and all of these guys bought, you know, media back in the day, 100 years ago. Same reason why people bought newspapers, or Bezos even bought a newspaper. He should have bought a social media site. And so you have these people who are playing a much deeper game, and Catholics are ill-equipped to be able to go and, you know, do what they need to do to defend what they're what they should be doing.
I think Catholics are afraid, and we've talked about this before, Catholics are afraid of having agency. Catholics are afraid of power. They think money. They think it's like inherently wrong to be famous or powerful or wealthy. But it's like wealth, power, and fame, just like pleasure, exist in this world, and there's nothing you can do about them, and they're going to exist. You just have to learn how to not be controlled by them and play with the cards that you're dealt. And instead of sitting around, instead of actually taking action, a lot of Catholics tend to kind of be like, oh, well, I wish that the world wasn't all on social media. Awesome. That's a really cool great wish. I used That's to be fun. Like that. I'm like, man, I wish that the world was not like this. All right. Awesome. Thanks. Yeah. That's a really great wish, you know, but it's like, you gotta play with the world that you actually exist in.
Can you imagine if the saints were like, I wish everybody wasn't trying to kill us right now.
I wish you know. Everybody was already Catholic. The missionaries.
I wish everyone was already Catholic.
Missionaries, like, when they got on a boat from Spain and went to the new world, they were probably like, I wish that the Indians will just like already convert like automatically. Yeah. I don't have to do anything hard.
St. Isaac Jogue is like, I wish these Native Americans were not chewing off my fingers right now. you know, it's like, well, that's the world you live in, bro. You got to deal with it.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, We bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift. Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Catholic men, when was the last time you read through the book of the prophet Isaiah? Maybe when you were in college studying theology, maybe never at all. I've read through the book of Isaiah myself multiple times, and I've gotten something new out of it every time. The book of Isaiah is called the fifth gospel, and for good reason. It's the book that contains the most references and prophecies of the birth of Jesus Christ, and so it's the perfect book to be reading through during Advent, during this Advent season, which is why I'm excited to be partnering with Exodus 90 for their Advent challenge. If you go to exodus90.com/thecrunch, that's exodus90.com/thecrunch. You can get a 14-day free trial of their app and try out their Advent challenge that is going on right now. So go to exodus90.com/thecrunch and you'll start reading through the book of the prophet Isaiah. You'll start spending your day in silence. You'll be taking those ice cold winter showers on Wednesday and Friday, and you'll be diving into a more spiritual and more ascetic approach to Advent as we prepare for the birth of Christ. Again, that's exodus90.com/thecrunch. Thank you to Exodus 90 for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
I have a question, Dino, and you can tell me if you're going to get to this or not. What would it look like for Catholics on X to take social media seriously? Like, if you could design a blueprint for what people should do to live up to the standard that they're called to, what would that actually...
design an 8-page PDF.
If you could design an 8-page PDF or maybe a $200 course... Mm-hmm. What would it look like?
I should have one for Catholics on how to.
You should.
How to control the narrative? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Patrick.
But here, we should make me it and Patrick. Me and Patrick should co-do this one. This one.
What the hell?
You guys are edging me out.
You need more followers. Okay.
I'm trying.
But here's one of the things that they need to do. They need to organize their networks in a way where people are aware of what the spun narrative against the Pope and against the church is, right? And then be able to quickly hit, just guerrilla warfare style, just hit that post with a note, hit that with a community note, not vote it down, but leave comments underneath there that are going this way, post against this, correct the narrative, have fun online, build large audiences, rally people behind you. And, you know, once you're able to do that, people are going to move more into your direction. Okay. But, and I'm not criticizing all of the Catholic accounts that are out there. Let's be real. Like there are some that do it right. Like Catholic Pat. And, you know,
I'm so vindicated right now.
he really does do it well. And there's really good accounts, but most of like the Catholic influencers I've met are just like really smug, and they like have a really hard time talking to be like, let's be real. Like, like some of them should be like easily like, I had another YouTuber guy, right? I think he has like 10,000 followers, and he has like a small, but, active audience. It's like takes by post. Like he'll never comment under thing that anything that like I post that he agrees with, but like he'll find one thing that he doesn't agree with or that I do, and like quote tweets it and like calls it out and stuff like that. It's kind of like a macho man thing that is like they're trying to like display some kind of like dominance as to like gain clout, instead of like doing what they should be doing, which is like modeling and being a good Catholic, being a good father, parent, person, growing and sharing what they're doing in the world and defending the Pope.
It's also like loyalty testing. I don't know if you've experienced this, but this is something that I experienced when I was in, when I was in parish life. It was very common for a lot of mercy to be extended to people who are not Catholic, and less mercy to be extended to people who claim to be Catholic. So it's like you get nitpicked if you're in the club because you're not in the club enough. Like you're deviating. But if someone's outside, it's like, oh well, they must, you know, they'll be one of us eventually. And so
there's too much judgment for sure. Yeah.
Like, yeah, what's probably happening is they're like, oh, this guy says he's Catholic, but actually he's kind of a Republican, you know? And like, sorry. you know, it's stuff like that where it's like, oh, you're not fully on my team. And so, but it's like, it's the opposite of what Christ said, which is like, if they're not for me, they're against me. If they're not against you, they're for you. Like you say, he gave a different command to his apostles about himself than he did about themselves. And we kind of flip it around where it's like, if they're not for Christ, eh, who really cares? But if they're not for me, how dare you? I'm the most important person. And so I think Catholic Twitter could.
I always blew my mind, guys. Like, for instance, there was another podcaster, right, that was out there. I'm not naming names, but they invited me on, right? And then they wanted to send me a bill. And
what?
Yeah, I swear, I'm not even joking around. And they go, oh,
Patrick, cancel the bill. Don't let it go out.
So it says, I'd never seen anything like, and like, look, I've been on other big podcasts before. Like I have never, like I've been on like 20 podcasts. I've done this before. And it's like, what are you guys even like? What? Oh yeah. You know, then you'll get in our like little circle or something like
that.
Like, it's just so weird, man. And like what these guys should be doing is they should just have each other's backs because we're brothers in Christ.
Right? Yes.
There shouldn't be like any of this like loyalty or litany test or like, you know, would we see all of this with, you know, which guy I'm talking about? Do I need to say the guy who pretends he's Catholic and like tells his, you know what I'm saying?
We're talking about Nick Fuentes, Patrick.
We're talking about Nick Fuentes, okay?
Oh,
I won't mention his name. It rhymes with Nick Fuentes, okay? It's not Nick Fuentes.
Yeah, because you can't say Nick Fuentes. If you say it three times, they'll appear.
Don't
and
say
they'll
it.
Start calling you. They'll
oh, he
start
won't appear.
The N-word.
It rhymes with Dick Fuentes.
So I called him out last week, right?
Because yes.
The whole wife guy thing, which is just so absolutely ridiculous. By the way, I want to say this. I was vindicated by this. So back in March, right? Okay. When I started to go, so I started receiving the sacraments again. I started to get back into the whole thing. I started to do a couple spaces with other Christian accounts, like Sovereign Raw came on there with me, Will Spencer, whole big other guys, and some Catholics accounts came on there too. And in that spaces, I said one of the things that I was really concerned about, this is back in March, was that there are other prominent, huge influencers that I can see, right, that are using the Catholic label to gain clout, right? And, you know, I said this in public in March, and then I had people, and then I named names and specifically mentioned Nick Fuentes. And then I had a lot of other Catholics come to me being like, hey, you know, give him a chance. He's really a good guy. Like, have you watched the show? And da 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 da.
That's the only thing I've ever heard from people who are fans of Nick Fuentes is, oh, you just haven't watched enough of him. I think I've seen enough of him.
Right. So, so I was like, send me some clips. Like, maybe I am missing something. Like, you know, I'm gonna. So I watched him, right? And I had so many people vouching for him that I was like, okay, you know what? In the back of my mind, I was like, this is wrong. And like, I know I'm right, but I'm just going to wait until this unravels. And, you know, 6 months later, the unraveling happens, of course. And this is what you have is kind of like what you said, Catholic Pat, is like, they're so lenient towards anyone who's just saying what they are and their own people. They don't have their own. So you know what that is? It's kind of like it's a broke mentality, like in a way.
Yeah.
It's like you are, and there's just no way to say, I can't say it. And it's like somebody who runs a business is like the brokest people that you have always take for what they already have for granted. Okay. Like they just take just like, oh, we have this. We have just, who cares? I want more stuff. Where's my stuff? Let's Nick Fuentes and these guys and da da da, they're going to do such great things for our movement. They're thinking about, you know, they're thinking about this this pie in the sky thing that they're all aiming for. It's like a carrot dangled in front of them, and they're willing to overlook all of his shortcomings, which are absurd and
are disqualifying. Really,
you're disqualifying, right? Yeah. Like, we both know, right? Like, this, use your brain for a second. We both know someone like that is not regularly going to receive the sacrament of confession, right? Like, how, like, are they doing a real examination of conscience, right? Yeah. Like, let's be real.
Fruit, you know, you could talk about it. It's like, it's the fruit. It's not a,
yeah.
It's like, it's he's saying that he's for Christ, but he's not behaving as if he is. And he's not.
I've never actually heard him talk about Jesus at all.
Really? Yeah. I haven't either.
Maybe it's because I've missed it, but I've only ever really seen him talk about guys with wives and campaign against Trump. Those are kind of the biggest things that I've seen from him.
And it's like, things, yeah.
Well, buddy, you're not making a very good argument for yourself at all. It's strange. He's just a strange guy. I'd love to meet him. I'd love to sit him down.
He's entertaining. I will say,
in a very straight environment, I would take him to the straightest coffee shop imaginable, and I'd like to have a conversation with him, just to see what happens. Well, I wouldn't want there to be any confusion on his part of what I was there for. You know.
Fair enough. I do think I will say, like, to our point earlier about Catholic Twitter having no teeth. You say one thing bad about Nick Fuentes, they put you in a group chat or something. They get you.
Well, it's
there's
the same
no
thing.
Way.
Patrick, it's the exact same thing that happens when you say something bad about a single Catholic woman on X.
They put you, they
it's,
put you in
it's
the
exact group. Same playbook. It's just run by a different group of people.
It's just run by a different group of people.
Right. So, like, think about, like, all of these groups are run just basically to help promote, like, these people who don't even care about Catholicism. And it's just, it just blows my mind. It's yeah. Like, what are you guys really doing? So. It's just, I don't know, like, it's something
very
that, it's something that Catholics really need to start taking seriously, or they're not going to be able to, or the world is going to think, you know, they're going to, this is something really serious. It's like, there are people that really believe, like, Pope Francis is a communist, right? Like, there are, like, people who really believe that Pope
Francis, which is ridiculous. He's from Argentina, in China. He's probably a Nazi.
Right. Ah. There are people who literally believe the story, and it's pushed all day long on X. It's pushed all day long by huge accounts that just have an agenda and have, like, orders. Hey, we're going to do this. We're going to run this narrative. We're going to push this out to the world. Social media is well organized, right? And so you have Catholics not out there defending that. You have Catholics out there defending Nick Fuentes instead, rallying behind him, which is a dude that once he gets what he gets, he wants, he's going to kick you to the side and pretend you never even existed in the first place. Mm-hmm. The Catholic Church will always be here for you.
True.
I love that. Yeah, so I don't know if we mentioned this to you, but this I was saying this is healing for me because we've been on Catholic Twitter since, like, 2011, 2012.
2013 or 14 for me. I think it's 13.
Too long. It's like
way
decades
too long.
Wow. And really? Yeah, and, like, we left, came back. It's the whole thing. But and it's always been extremely insular. No one has ever gone really beyond Catholic Twitter. And so I think a lot of people on Catholic Twitter, my read of it is that that's fair. Oh no, but this actually supports my point. So Matt Frad did, and what happened was everyone turned on him. He starts interviewing, he interviews Jordan Peterson. People are like, how dare you interview Jordan Peterson? Why not? You know, like, why not interview?
What's
but
the harm?
Mitchell Barron, interview Shia LaBeouf. How dare you interview Shia LaBeouf?
I've reached out to Jordan Peterson, by the way, too, because he
and?
Did he respond?
No.
I'm
waiting to hear back from him, but he does follow me, so I can open up a DM with him, so.
So what could the art of purpose even be? You've got a bloody purpose. You don't need to know the art of it. You just have to live it.
He's doing interviews with Destiny instead. So he must be.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. So you're you need to level up, man. You got to compete with Destiny.
I can't
just challenge him to a bench press contest and you'll win.
I can't
just
do
with
an
the
interview
bar.
With Destiny because I'm straight. Unfortunately, that's the problem.
Yeah, I'd love to interview Destiny. It'd be fun. Keep going.
I don't know much about him except for the two things. You know what I mean?
Those are the only two things you need to know. He's in the picture of him where they Photoshop his head to be bigger. Anyway, it's a really funny. It's a funny.
I love
picture.
When people do that. The Groypers did a Photoshop of me that I thought was kind of fun. It was
they
like,
did.
They cutified me. I was like, I look adorable.
Like the JD Vance picture.
Yeah,
with like the little the hat and the lollipop. That's a funny.
I was like, dude, they Vanced me.
what an honor.
I know, right? Anyway, but what they did was they turned on Matt and turned on Bishop Barron because they started going outside the bubble. And I think what a lot of what's happening on Catholic Twitter and what happens in Catholic world in general is when someone we perceive to be more powerful starts encroaching upon our space. Like, hey, this is ours. Like, you can't play with this ball.
Can I talk about how I got back into Catholicism? Because it's really
Please.
I would love to hear.
The Protestants got me back into Catholicism. That's unbelievable. Because that's how weak the evangelical game is for Catholics right now. It's almost non-existent. It's basically Bishop Barron and Bishop Barron. And, you know, let's be real. Like, who is out there trying to... Like, this is what Protestants do so well is, you know, they're out there, they're in public, they talk about it, they try to bring people to church. So, like, what I've been trying to do is bring as many people to church as possible, you know, and this is the amazing part. This is going to blow your guys away.
I'm ready. Yeah.
So I went back to church 1 year ago, pretty much this week or something like that. And I go back. So I'm in Texas, right? I go to a church, local area. It is so packed. I could not believe how packed it is. I show up. They're like, hey, you need to go to the overflow room. And I showed up. I was like, what is going on? The overflow. So I was like, hey, I want to start going back. So I'd been reading the Bible for like 2 years straight. Okay. Just the Gospels, reading the Bible for 2 years straight. I started to like watch. It was mostly like Protestant videos and stuff like that. Cause I just wanted to get into it. I just wanted to learn again. And I was like, you know, let's go explore. I talked to my wife about this. I said, let's go explore like a few churches. You know, we'll go to all of the different churches in our area and we'll see like which one really fits us, you know, like a turbo normie would. Okay. And so I said, but let's first go. Right, cause the turbo normie would be like, hey, let's go. I was just, I didn't know what I was doing, but
let's check out a house plant church.
Yeah. Like, hey, let's try this out. So I said, let's go to a Catholic church. You know, I was raised Catholic, I believe in Catholic, I believe in Christianity. I wasn't like quite showing up again on all my stuff with Catholicism. But I was like, hey, let's go to a local Catholic church. And so we go now I grew up in Philadelphia originally. Okay. And so it was so dwindling when I was going to church and when I was there. It's kind of sad what's happened on the East Coast from what I've heard and from when I talk to people. I don't know where you guys are from, but the areas there, you know, I remember going to church services there and it would be like a quarter full or something like that. And so I'm like, let's go to the local church here. And I'm like telling my wife beforehand, I said, look, you know, I don't know how many people are going to be there. I'm kind of like, you know,
you're hedging.
I'm already like, hey, you know, like, let's just give them a chance. Let's keep like a real open mind.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't care if there's 20 people here or something like that. We're going to go show some respect.
There's 20 watch.
I go there. We show up 2 minutes or 5 minutes before it's about to start. I'm like, sorry, you need to go to the overflow room. I'm like, what is going on? Like, I saw people. There were people everywhere. There was jammed, packed standing room in the church itself. They go send us to the overflow room, which has like all of these folding chairs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's so many people in the overflow room that me, my wife, and my son are just sitting on these like three folding chairs like this. And I'm like, we're just barely fitting in this room. And they had the mass. Okay, I'll never forget this. This was the worst and best mass I've ever been to. Okay. They had the mass on a TV that was like way in front in the room. Mm-hmm. You couldn't even hear, right? Yeah. I couldn't even.
Oh, yes.
Bro, you just know there's a dad in there that's like pissed off because his wife and kids didn't get ready fast enough.
Well, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, first of all, am I like totally blown away by what's going on right here? Cause there's so many people here. Where did they come from? And the mass, right? I was like talking about the Catholic Church and like being open because my wife is not Catholic. Okay. She was like raised Methodist and then went to like a whole bunch of like those like Joel Osteen type churches. Okay. So, you know, around the, just all there. So I was like, you know, we'll give them all a chance, you know, we'll see. But I was really rigging it for Catholics anyway. I didn't mean to But so nice. But then I go to the church and then we're sitting on folding chairs and I'm like, what is this service? They're going to think that she's never been to a Catholic mass before. And this wasn't even a mass. We're watching it on TV. So anyway, I'm on there. There's so many people there. And from what I saw, though, it was so incredible at the same time. Everybody knew like all of the responses. People were kneeling on the concrete floor. There were women in veils everywhere. It was like the most unreal experience that I've ever seen. And I was moved by it in a way. It was like, here we are participating in this mass in the worst like conditions that are just like way overcrowded and stuffy and completely uncomfortable in every way, shape, or form. And everybody is really excited to be there and they love it. And there was like such a really good vibe and I couldn't even hear what was going on. And so we walk out and I go, well, let's try again. Like as we, so we tried another Catholic church too. And then we go
same day.
No, not the same day.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, no, nice. Not the same day.
But I think it was Christmas. I think we went like the next week after or something like that. It was like the New Year's. Right. And so we go to another church and which is another Catholic church. And we go there and it was the same thing, jammed pack, full of people. But we decided we go there and we loved the priest that worked that preaches there so much. His homilies were great and the choir was amazing there. So we're like, we're not even going to look anywhere else. This is going to be our church and this is what we're going to do.
Nice.
We're going to register. So I registered for my parish, talked to the priest, went to confession for the first time in like 25 years. That was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, has started, you know, studying, you know, the church again, getting back into the whole culture and going every single Sunday now. But I absolutely love it. And it was a pretty wild experience though, because it wasn't Catholics that brought me back to the church. It was me watching like think about like who all the big people on YouTube are who are like talking about the church. Like they're all Protestant guys, right? And they're all like preaching about the love of the Bible. And like God works in weird ways though, because that brought me like to read the Bible again. It got me interested in it again. And I was like, well, where should I go? Oh, let's try the Catholic church. Like I haven't gone there in a long time, so let's do that. And then I was sold after going there. Mm. But the thing that I love about Catholicism is just how real the services are. Like, you know, you watch like some of these other services that are out there. They're not even a service. Like, what are they even really? It's just a bunch of people talking in front of a microphone like we are right now. There's nothing there. There's no spiritual anything there. It just doesn't even make any sense. It makes no sense to me. It really, like, I don't even understand it, guys. And
I was talking to a friend though. It's very visitor friendly, right? Yeah. It's very visitor friendly. It's segmented. Right, it's like we sing, we talk, we sing, and we're done. You know, it's very there's
three parts. I was looking up all the churches by area, so I found like one of like this big mega church. I'm in Texas, okay. There's a big mega church down the street from me. This is everywhere, and they're like, hey, come on over to our church, show up a little early, get lots of parking. We have a coffee bar and a gift shop, and da 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 da. And I'm like, what kind of church? What kind of church has a gift shop in this? And so my wife was also drawn to Catholicism too. Because she grew up going to those kinds of things. And she was like, this thing is just so fake. Like, how can you have a church with a gift shop and a coffee bar? And like, none of this
it's has like going to church people. At Mount Rushmore, dude.
Yeah. And I'm not making fun of people who go there. Okay. I want to make that clear. Okay. I'm saying that, you know, it's, in comparison to what Catholicism is, it's nothing, right? It's not really anything. And so, you know, my wife was going with me to Catholic Mass and she was like, this is unbelievable. She's like, the experience here is amazing. So we got our son baptized. Now she's in OCIA. And then this April, she is in this next class. Because it takes a year, awesome. Right? Like, that's pretty amazing. Like, it takes like a year.
Yeah, it takes a long time.
They should have an express lane. They should just have an express lane.
They do. If you're,
curious, they really do.
Or less.
If you're smart enough, Scott Hahn was able to do that. He rolled up and he was just like, help me clear up a few things. And in like 3 months, they confirmed him because he was just electric. But even when I was a kid talking about like Protestant services not feeling real, I always knew it was fake because we would drive around at this time of year and I would see the banners in front of the Protestant churches that would say Christmas service, December 22nd and 23rd.
No.
And it was like,
we were just having this conversation with my wife.
Exactly.
The church we saw today, It said Christmas services, and they listed it all on December 22nd. That's not Christmas. Yeah,
exactly. It's like, if you can't even as like a child, like 11 years old, I'm like, you can't. So if you don't think the day is important, it's like, so what else don't you think is important? What else is not sacred in your church? If time itself is not sacred.
Maybe you need to go to all the services on December 22nd and on December 25th. I don't know. Like, but they're closed. I noticed there were two churches that I drove past that were closed on Christmas. They had no services on Christmas Day. Like, how is that even possible? So, you know, I to me, it makes no sense. Here, meanwhile, right, the Immaculate Conception, right, we were going to church on Sunday and on Monday. Like, we're like, hey, we're doing, right? Because that's
when we move the day, we make you go to church both times still.
Right.
Right.
That's true.
But that's how you know you, like, that's real, right? Because this matters, right? What
I remember I was reading this leadership book by, it's kind of a double beat, but it's relevant. I was reading this leadership book. It was written by a guy at a Protestant church, and he was talking about how they found out it was Andy Stanley's like youth minister. Yeah.
Okay.
And they were talking about how at their church they
how to lead when you're not in charge was the name of the book.
Yes, that was it.
Bang, dude! You're so easy for me to know what you're talking about.
You've known me for so long. But he was talking about how on Memorial Day their service attendance was the lowest of all the whole year. And he uses like a positive example. He was like, so we just canceled church. And everyone said, you can't cancel church. But I came up with the idea. And it was great because everyone got a day off. And I'm like, you can't cancel church. What do you mean?
Why would you want to? One of the first things whenever I go on vacation now, one of the first things we do is we look to see where all the local Catholic churches are. And just in case, like it's a Sunday, you know, you go over there and that's. To me, that's you're really practicing something that's the beauty of the Catholic Church. It is. See, what's funny, I go back to the Catholic Church and the Catholic Church plays ultimate power moves. OK. And where it's like you can't actually leave the Catholic Church. So it's like you left.
Forever.
Oh, you got married and you forgot to tell us. Oh, you didn't have a wedding in here. Now you need to have your wedding in here again.
Turns out you weren't married.
Yeah. Turns out you are married, but you're not at the same time.
Right? Yeah.
You just forgot to tell us. So now you got to have the wedding here. Right. And so I love the power move where it's like, this is only the Catholic Church could do something like this. It's like,
what are you going to do? We're 2000 years old.
It's like you left. Oh, you never left, but you left. And now you got to do this XYZ thing.
That's the amazing thing about the church that Americans specifically have such a hard time understanding is that the church is a society unto itself. Mm-hmm. Like when you are baptized, you not only like are cleansed of sin and you're forgiven and you're made a son or a daughter of the Father, but you're also, you become a citizen of this society that now you have laws that you have to follow. And that, like, to the American spirit is really frustrating to people because they're like, what do you mean there's something outside of myself that I have to be obedient to? I don't know about that.
I don't like it.
But that's the cool thing about the church. It's just like, these are the laws. These are the rules. Follow them or don't. You know, and if you're
and if you
you're
don't
you're try
right.
to. Yeah. Yeah. We'll deport you.
You're if you don't show up for a year, you're excommunicated, right?
Like, we'll send you to the Lutherans. But yeah, that's why we like won't baptize people. It's against canon law to baptize a child without their parents knowing because that child is subject to canon law and their parents don't know it. And so they're going to grow up and they're going to live life as if they're not Catholic and they are Catholic. And so that's why we won't do it because baptism means something in this life and the next, which is something that even Protestants don't really accept or understand. Oh, no. Oh,
transport back to Christmas now.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
So this is another thing. I'm going to – that's good right there.
What is that?
I like the piano.
Default one.
So this is another observation. It's pretty interesting to have like these observations because I've been gone long. So it's like you have like these fresh eyes.
Right. You're like a little baby that's discovering carrots for the first time.
So one of the things that is – you know, I'm going to say, because I've done this too. It's like, I think a lot of people take Catholic Church for for granted. Okay.
Yeah.
Especially Catholics themselves, especially priests, right? Mm, like you have priests. These priests, like it's I think that so many people are out there. Like so I started doing a lot of spaces back in March and in April about religion in general. And I had
a live audio podcast on X
spaces. Yeah. They're live podcasts. I had thousands of people attending these things and I had people coming up on stage being like, hey, I'm a Catholic and you know, I'm a guy, but you know, I just don't believe that the priests really understand what young men are going through. Like da, 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 da. And the thing that really blows my mind is how, and this is Americans in general, they look at the church like it's a vending machine. They look at the church as like, priests, you know, are you going to start talking about the things that I want to hear? Are you going to mm-hmm. start giving me the stuff that I want? And that's what the relationship with God is. It's the same way too. It's like all they do is, it's like they haven't learned anything from like the book of Job where it was like, you know, you may not get anything. You may in fact get the opposite.
Could you imagine if your son walked up to you? Dad, when are you going to start giving me more ice cream? You're going to get less now. Actually,
yeah.
When are you gonna start talking about abortion now? I don't want to give a homily on abortion even more.
Yeah,
that's like most people's relationship with the church is they think like, what's it doing for me? I don't, and it's permeated from like this transactional relationship that every guy has, especially younger guys. And I get it, I'm a businessman and I look at biz from a transactional standpoint. But what has happened is everything is now looked at this transactional standpoint lens. And especially with younger guys, it's poisoned their mind. This is why porn is so dangerous, is because you have a lot of these guys, or, you know, so out here, like, I even have like, big accounts that are out there, like even like Zuby and stuff. And I love Zuby. I think he's great and I get along with him. But you have guys like him and other huge accounts going like, oh, when you get married, make sure I'm going to have like a prenuptial agreement or something like that. Make sure you get a prenuptial agreement. Da, 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 da. And it's like, look at you going into this it's a covenant, right? It's a relationship to become one. And you're looking at this like, hey, before you do this, I need you to sign on the dotted line right here, you know, and then I'll trust you if once we do this. And it's just like everything is turned into a transaction now. It's like this Alex Hormozi BS mindset. All of these guys, they want to like quantify everything so that they can scale all of everything of human, right? It's just absolute retards. And, you know, I'm sorry, they are. And so the problem is they don't look at it from a human. What I love about Catholicism, it's so human oriented. Like this is why the Pope is so like, hey, human life out everywhere. You cannot let all of these other mindsets poison your mind. And the transactional mindset is one of the most poisonous, and not really talked about enough. Is you have a lot of these guys who are like, why am I going to get married? Right? I can go porn and like $5 a month or something like that. Do this, do that. I can do the same result. All they do is look at the result that they're going to get, as opposed to going into something with a relationship. Yeah. And so the same, they look at the church the same way too. It's like, talk to some guys and I go like, hey, I'm going back to, oh, I'd get into Christianity as well. But like, what's the benefit? Like I've actually heard this from people. They go like, what's the benefit? What do you get? Like when you go to church, what do you get? Do you get like a cookie? Like they need a cookie every single time they do something, right?
Sometimes you get a donut.
Actually, you know what? I did get a donut last time I was.
If you're good, the donut is crucial for the 2-year-olds in the audience.
Yeah, the donut.
If you don't have if you don't have the donut, then it's over.
No, you're right about that. My son loves the donuts. And so you have so many people who are looking at everything, the relationship with God, even. Into a transactional standpoint. And this is one of the reasons why society is in its state that it's in right now.
Ethan, help, I'm drowning. I need to find land, perhaps an island, a Greek island, to find safety, both in physical and digital security.
You got your little flippers on?
I got my little blue
little
snorkel.
Swimming boy? You little snorkel?
Swimming. I'm like, help someone find me. I'm swimming in an ocean of privacy violations, and I need to find a haven in this digital ocean.
You're the type of guy that would go on an excursion in the Mediterranean and the boat would leave you behind. I just need you to know that. I hear you. I think the internet is getting more and more pernicious. They're making robots that talk and walk and pour drinks,
pour beer,
and it's getting to be a little bit much. I mean, we're going to Mars, but at what cost? You know what I mean? And I think that each American, especially in the coming years when it's going to become illegal to be Catholic, we deserve our privacy. We deserve to be protected from government overreach and big companies that are spying on us, trying to target us with ads, trying to get us to spend our hard-earned dollars on their junk instead of on investing in a beautiful future for our families and our friends. Patmos Hosting Solutions can solve that. Not only do they protect you from big tech, not only do they provide a one-of-a-kind integrated hosting solution for your business, for your website, for your platform, whatever it is you need, but they will never censor you. They'll never take your data, even if they 100% disagree with you, even if they think you're the worst person on the planet. They have that integrity, and that's what I really love about Patmos.
Yeah, Patmos has really helped us out over the past couple of months, setting us up on our website. We are believers. We practice what we preach, and so our podcast is secure on Patmos servers, free from any kind of external intrusion that might occur. And they got a great team. They'll walk you through setting it up. It's one-on-one service, which you're not going to get on any competitor web hosting services. You go to your whatever, your Wix space or your Wordly, whatever. They're not going to host your web. They're not going to walk you through hosting. You're going to have to set up some kind of nonsense. They're going to walk you through it. They're going to help you out. They're great over there.
If you tell them that we sent you, you get 10% off. Go to patmos.tech. Let them know that we sent you. Thank you to Patmos for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch. Mm-hmm. People don't understand that suffering has value intrinsically. Mm-hmm. You don't have to suffer to get something, right? Everyone loves the grind that results in, you know, making $1 million, right? Because then it's like, oh, I'm grinding for $1 million. But what if I told you that suffering in and of itself meant that you could grow closer to God? And that is worth more than any amount of money you could ever make or any result that you could ever gain, any muscles that you could grow from working out, any type of result that you could achieve. The gift that suffering gives you is far greater than any of those things. And again, that just breaks people's brains. They don't want to accept that.
And it's also like, there's no sensibility in the sub. I think the reason why people don't get that is because it's unnatural. Maybe in a fallen state, it's unnatural. It's unnatural for us to be like, yes, work is good for its own sake, because it's all we need to tie it to some cookie at the end in order to get through it. But like, it also doesn't make sense until Jesus comes and shows us what real work and real suffering and real sacrifice is. I don't think it's until Jesus comes that and dies that we understand the value of work and for its own sake. Like there's that saying that it's like the work works on you. You know, it's not about the results. Be action-oriented, not results-oriented. I think those are all good sayings, because they're kind of like the human articulation of a deeper divine truth. But, like, it's so hard for people to see that. It's hard for me to see it. You know, it's like, this work is good for its own sake. And then, like, this stomach ache, this headache, this suffering that is seemingly useless because it has no monetary or pleasurable or powerful or wealth benefit on the other side, it's still good because it unites me with the cross. It unites me with the sufferings of Christ. It's hard. It's hard to get that across. I think it's hard to.
Well, I talked about work ethic, right? And from teaching public school, working 80 hours, but a lot of that I learned when I went to Catholic school, right? It was like beaten into us when we were like, this is what you do. You always
metaphorically or literally by the nuns.
Sometimes. I went back to school. I'm older. Okay. So, but one of the things that you can say is that with Catholic schools is, they, you know, so this is the real problem with public schools. Public schools, like, people come to me and they go, why are public schools in a mess? And are they fixable? I always get, can we fix public schools? The answer is no, you cannot. It's
terrible. I didn't even ask. I don't even care.
You are destined to failure. They're destined to failure. There's no God in the schools. And the reason why is I've taught in both, right? I've seen both firsthand. I have a master's degree in education too.
Oh,
and so, yeah, right, which is probably my most meaningless credential. Okay, so,
well, we got a guy who has a master's in theology on the call, so let's not get too into
it. Both of our degrees are in our bios. That's where they go.
There you go.
Oh, wow. That's true. This isn't LinkedIn right now. Okay, so like, let's talk. So you have all of these, you have Catholic schools, right? They can always pull like the God card, and it's like, you know what? Sit you down. Oh, you're not achieving your potential. You're disappointing God. right? Oh. You need to do this. You need to do that. Like, we used to have strict homework. Here's the reason why. This is the people who teach and run in the Catholic schools, they actually love kids. They actually care about the kids. They have a deeper connection with the children. The people who are in the public schools, because there's no God there, there's no God present, is they're there for a paycheck. They're there to pay their mortgage. They're there to just go home, drive a car, get out of here. So if it's run like a prison, they don't really care. It's going to be run like a prison. And so the kids are going to act like they're in a prison. And so in the Catholic schools, there's such a deeper connection with the people, with the teachers and the people who are running it, with the students. And they can say things and do things that public school teachers cannot do. Like, they can pull out a Bible and throw you a quote and point to it and say, yeah, here's my authority. Here's what I can do. Well, in a public school, you can have a kid, you can have say something. Why do I need to do that? Because I said so, or because that's the rules. In the Catholic school, they can pull out the Bible and say, well, why do I need to do that? Well, let me hear chapter, verse, quote, here. Now shut up and do it, right? So there's a whole different angle.
There's a beauty in that, I think.
Well, there really is, right? And so, and then it makes it believable too. And they go the extra mile to make sure that, you know. So, hey, when I went to Catholic school, this is a funny thing, right? The Monsignor would come in and he would take everybody's report card and he would go through and he would read it out loud to the entire class.
And I love that. That's so cool.
Right. Right. So like, he would come in. He's like, Dino, open my report card. Oh, that's disappointing. Oh, you did good in math. Oh, but I see you're not doing well here. And it's, here you go. Right. And so there's just such a high different standard to what's going on in those schools versus public schools where they're learning nothing. They're learning.
The principal comes in, opens up a notebook, and it's like, oh, I see you've transitioned male to female this year. Oh, and back again in second
back
semester.
Again.
Well done.
Wow.
Yeah. Right.
And you got that autism diagnosis. Good job.
Good
well
job.
Done.
You got another label. You got another label. You got another phony label. And so you have all of these things that are going on in the public schools. And I don't even think the parents are aware about like how bad they truly, really are. Mm. So one of the things we also got excited about, too, is they're actually building a Catholic school and a new church in our area as well.
Nice.
It's absolutely fantastic that we're in an area where they're doing these kinds of things and the faith is growing. And it's something that I think more Catholics need to be excited about. Like, I was gonna say this. I hate how there are such negative. I'm sorry, I'm hating. Okay,
all
right.
That's all right.
Okay,
we like to hate on this podcast.
Okay, so
we are hater, but
many of them will. It's like, you know, on like Catholic schools and so and so and so. They don't know anything about what they're talking about. Okay, like, oh, you know, we there's all this negativity about the church. This is I've never seen so much. Some of the most negative people about the Catholic Church are Catholics, right? And they just like tweet about it. They put it out in public. Oh, this, oh, that. You know, it's like, we need Catholic schools. We need more priests. We need more churches. We need people telling other people to get to church. We need more people getting interested in what we're doing as Catholics. And that's what I'm doing. Like, I'm not here to preach theology or anything. I don't have a degree in that. Okay. But what I can do is I can get people excited about going to church. And that's what most Catholics should be doing. They should be so for anybody who's listening, I challenge you. Invite one or two people to go to church with you during Christmas, okay, or New Year's or something like that. Bring them to church when you guys are having like all of this great stuff. We're about to go into such a great season of the church, right? Get them to come with you to Mass. Get them, teach them about it, right? Teach them about what's going on. Teach them about what's going really going on in the Mass. They may not even realize it. They may go there and just be like, wow, the choir was really cool. Okay, but then you could teach them about, you know, the Eucharist. You can teach them about what's happening there. You could teach them about the whole, what's behind everything. And they may be like, wow, is this like, you know, real? Like, and they'll look into it and like they'll get really excited about it and they'll get curious about it. And then they may be coming and joining RCIA in the next year. But what are Catholics doing? Like, there is no movement. There is absolutely no movement in the United States for Catholics to get more Catholics in the United States. People could care less. And it just bothers me. It bothers me because it's like Padre Pio says that he would suffer an eternity in hell to save one soul. And you can't invite one Catholic to go with you to church. Is absolutely selfish behavior. Sorry, it is, right? Am I wrong about this?
I love
no,
it.
No, you're not.
Oh, this is so
you're not
good.
Wrong at all. This is good. It's true for adults. There are things that exist for college age students and high schoolers and teenagers, yeah. basically. But that's the okay. that's the only nut that the Catholic Church has cracked is college ministry and high school ministry.
And
everything
college
else,
ministry only recently. I will.
And
add.
That's in like the last 15 years. You know, so it's like there is no reliable way for adult outreach, evangelization, integration into parishes. There's the church basically is relying on people having kids and having them baptized and like right, or right basically doing that. what you did, which is they went to Catholic school 20 years ago. Maybe they'll come back one day when their kids are older.
Yeah,
that's the best strategy they have, which is insane.
When I was a youth group kid in high school, I remember thinking, man, when my friends graduate, they're screwed. Like, I got to get them before they graduate because mm-hmm. there's no hope after that. And that was even true for friends of mine that were in youth ministry for years. They went to college and they left the church because they didn't have that continual outreach. They weren't fully in. They needed
no. But what we really need is we need more priests posting selfies and arguing with each other over the affections of single women on X. That's what's really gonna. That's what's really gonna put us over the top.
I haven't seen that, but I have seen.
Well, you're not on the same sides that we are.
Well, I
no, it's a little bit over. I think that was a trend that perhaps we're outside of that bubble now, or maybe you still are. I don't know.
Maybe I don't know.
MasterClass taking me out of the Catholic.
I think regular Catholics can just be more open about what they're doing and tell people about what they're doing.
Just be normal.
Just invite people. Like how hard is it to do this? It's not hard at all. We don't need the priests to be personally inviting people. Okay.
No.
They need to be priests. Okay.
They need to be focusing on the important things like blowing up the moon.
Blowing up the moon.
Yeah, so a while ago, a priest friend of mine named Father Anthony, who is no longer on Twitter because he just decided he had enough of it, he was like, we should not, the moon shouldn't be there, it mocks God, we should blow up the moon. And it was this running joke for a long time.
It was a running thing for a long time,
and I worked at his parish, actually, so he got me my first job, and it got so popular that some parishioners went to our pastor and was like, hey, Father Anthony is talking about blowing up the moon. And so the pastor called him into his office and was like, hey, Anthony, why do you want to blow up the moon? Some parishioners are concerned. He's like, oh, it's just a joke, Father. It's fine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's not good.
Father Anthony was great. He had Clerically Speaking is his podcast. If you want to check him out, they're funny. I liked that podcast when it was still posting episodes. It's no longer posting.
They fell off. It's all good. We're at the hour mark, Dino. The floor is yours for anything that you want to plug or any messages you'd like to leave the audience with. I know you had just a pretty strong, powerful closing just then, but if there's anything you'd like to add to it.
You know, really, I think it's important for every Catholic to start talking about their faith in public. I think that you have many other the denominations that are out there that are willing to do that, and which is one of the reasons I almost got brought into one of those, right? Like I was looking for a church. I'm looking for where to go. I just happened to be Catholic, right? So I decided to go there first. But what if I wasn't, right? Then I would be in a different church. And we need to take this battle seriously, right? You have one chance to do this. And all you need to do is just start inviting people. It could be some of your parents. It could be parents. It could be your children. It could be friends. It could be neighbors. It could be anyone. Get them back into the church and start talking to them about what you're seeing or what's going on in the church and teach them and be alongside of them. Also take the social media seriously as well. I actually don't think the priests really should be like outside of like the bishop barons who are like designated to do this. I don't think a lot of the priests really even need to be on the social media. They have other things to do. Like, and
you don't know, tell
I
them that
on this. I agree.
they get really a lot of personal satisfaction from being on there.
I don't think most priests are on social media. I think most priests aren't on social media.
That's correct.
Real. It's a very small percentage of priests that are on social media because social media is a mud slinging fest. Let people like me get in the mud for you guys. Okay. And let people like Catholic Pat and Ethan do that too, as well. We'll be able to go sling mud. And
we can handle it.
The thing is this, guys, and by the way, I do want to say this. I am going to plug my community masterclass. I'm going to throw this on right now.
Please do.
Our masterclass community, we have 500 members. It's the number one social media community in the I think it is in the world. I'm just going to say it is in the world because I don't know of anyone bigger. We've been in the biz for 4 years now, hundreds of members. You get to work alongside with myself and some of the biggest accounts on X. We have calls in there. We've done calls this past year with Culture Critic, Wall Street Silver, Zuby, and just all of the big accounts come in there and they teach you alongside me day in and day out, and you get to meet and socialize with a lot of other big accounts that are on there. Masterclass247.com. Come join us. And if you ever have a question about it, like, and this is for people who are serious about growing on social media, who are like, hey, I want to get like 5,000, 10,000 followers. I maybe want to build a business online. Any perhaps like what you're, it doesn't have to be Catholic in particular. It could be like a fitness coach or whatever. It could be a business, a life coach. It could be anything. So there's many different ways that you can build businesses online. I know we didn't talk about that today, but that's basically what we do for a living is we teach people how to grow these pages and how to grow and build their businesses and create their offers and sell and make money online ethically. Okay. And I'm really serious about that. So, you know, that's what we do.
No grifting in Masterclass, despite what the haters say.
Yes. No, some of Nick Fuentes' friends were like, you're a grifter. I think like that is the most thrown around phrase these days, by the way.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know,
a grift is when someone I don't like sells something. That's all that it means.
I've never seen him go like around. What they should be doing is going after like all those people selling all of these like altcoins and all of these like garbage things to their audience.
Fart coin
and like these absolute ridiculous app greedy money grubbing ventures that are out there.
I should have invested in Luigi coin, bro. I saw someone make like $1 million off of Luigi coin.
What if, guys, and this is being serious, like this is like a joke, but like what if somebody actually invited Luigi to church 2 years ago with him, right? Like,
whoa.
Right?
The United Healthcare CEO shooter, by the way, that's who we're talking about, not Mark.
I mean, he was Italian, right? So like there's a high percentage that he was baptized Catholic. And exactly. I don't know. We don't know that for a fact.
I think in Italy, it's by birth you're Catholic. I think you get baptized as you come out.
I think it is true. The Pope does it himself. Like, boom, right there. So
you got to get to
– go ahead. Oh,
sorry, I was just going to say, you got to get Battle Beagle on the Masterclass.
Who's Battle
Beagle? I want to see some – oh, you got to get Battle Beagle on there. You got to get Investment
UFO
Hulk.
Guy?
You got to get – no, Battle Beagle – is a right wing
the only people I bring online to, so I just want to be clear, the type of accounts that we bring online for Masterclass to teach inside of there are some of those only ones that can offer value. So like for instance, when we had Wall Street Silver come on and do his class, it was about everything you need to know about learning about how X monetization works and how he does it and how he, you know, builds his accounts, how he structures his and how he maximizes and gave every single person like a game plan for like how to walk out of there and make more money from X ad revenue directly. And then so like Zuby came on and he taught people how to get their first 10,000 followers, right? Nice, which is just a really cool way because it's unbelievable. He's got like 1.2 million. And then Culture Critic comes on routinely and we talk and we edit people's threads and we talk about what they have going on. And we actually look at, he's one of the best thread writers in the world. And
I love Culture Critics.
He's Patrick's newest boyfriend, actually.
Culture Critic's great. Ethan's just jealous.
I am.
Culture Critic.
I've never hid that from anybody.
So that's it. So if you're interested in the Masterclass community, check it out. It's not like we don't bring on people just to shoot the breeze. We bring on people
you should.
We should
podcast, right? You know?
We could do a. I would do a space for that. I would do a space for that.
That's true. That's fair.
We do a space for that, just to chat, just to talk and have a good time. But Catholic Path's been on my spaces as well. But when we have like these webinars, they have to have some kind of value, some kind of quantitative result, X, Y, Z that you're going to learn,
right,
so that you can walk out of there knowing and be armed to accomplish whatever task it may be.
I love it. Patrick, do you have anything else for the people before we round out the show?
No, this was fantastic. Dino, thanks so much for being here and giving us like a perspective on someone coming from not necessarily the outside, because once you're Catholic, you never leave, but someone coming from outside of our bubble of Catholicism and telling us what's what. It was nice. It's up.
I appreciate you guys. I had fun. I had a blast with you guys. Anytime, enjoy your Christmas tree. Enjoy your Christmas, guys. And guys, you can message me at Creation247 on X, The Art of Purpose, directly, or you can just hop in our community or talk to Catholic Pat. Actually, DM Catholic Pat about it, and he will tell you how great our community is.
If those codes are still active, I got a code.
Yeah, like if you buy through Catholic Pat's link, there you go. He can make a few bucks. Support
Patnevy.com/masterclass. It's real, yeah.
That's the way to go. Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you, and we'll see you all next time.